Well, welcome everybody to this call about celestial events unfolding here in November, December, and January of 2019. Thank you so much to everybody for being here, and thank you, Glenda, so much for being with us and for your continual inspiration and all the beautiful work that you do. It's very easy to see how these beautiful events unfolding on in the heavens are very practical and very connected with what we all are most concerned about, especially when we get to see what you're sharing, what you're teaching about Yeshua's presence and his work and the meaning of his life and teaching. So thank you especially very much for doing that and for all that you do.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, the thing that I think we can all see, I don't know if everyone's had a chance to see it. If you're farther north in North America, it's harder to spot it. But Venus is very visible, especially if you're lower down. We're in San Jose, California, and we're low enough that we can see Venus clearly in the evening sky. So Venus and Jupiter are very prominent shortly after sunset. So I'm hoping that some of you have already seen that that configuration. It's something that you need to look for soon after sunset, as soon as it gets dark.
Is it in the western sky? Tony, is it in the western sky?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Follows the sun. Yeah, so as soon as the sun, you'd look to where the sun just set, and then you'd look a little bit to the left of where the sun has set, and you'll
okay.
see two very bright objects. They're similar brightness right now when they appear. And what's also very interesting about this is Saturn is also visible. Saturn's a little dimmer, but it's close by, just a little bit above Jupiter. And what's really striking about this is that they have Jupiter and Saturn have a 20-year cycle. And they are about to come together. It's still going to be another year. But 13 months from now, Jupiter and Saturn will have their 20-year conjunction. And this has been something that's anticipated for a very long time. People have been looking at this because this 20-year cycle for centuries has been happening mostly in Earth signs. But now it's going to shift more towards air and fire signs. And it's going to be that way.
Pardon me, Tony. If you would put us on a Q&A mode,
okay.
then we won't have this background noise.
Okay?
All right.
Okay, and we will have opportunities for people to respond and asking questions and sharing experiences. So the thing that's very prominent about this right now is that Venus and Jupiter are very, very visible. And what's interesting about them is that Venus has an 8-year cycle. It's right in the same spot 8 years from now and 8 years ago. It would be in the western sky at this time. And Jupiter has a cycle, which is 12 years. So these two planets were together here in the sky, actually in the same spot 24 years ago, because that's the cycle for Venus, 8 years, and Jupiter, 12 years. So every 24 years, that lines up. So this is a resonance back to things that were happening in late 1995 as well. Now, one of the things that's very significant about this particular alignment, this does not happen every time. When Jupiter and Saturn come together in the fall like this, once every 24 years, they're not always lining up where they're going to be. when this conjunction happens on November 24th, it's going to be aligned dead on with the dark rift in the heart of the galaxy, the Milky Way. And that's a very significant position. That particular position, that location, is what was identified as the significant alignment for the sun at the end of the Mayan calendar, the long count calendar that recycled in 2012, December 2012. Well, this is the same point in the sky that Venus and Jupiter will be aligning with. So that alone would be very, very significant, because this conjunction doesn't occur in the same place every time. But what is also very significant is that what we have here right now also is Saturn and Pluto are also currently very close to each other, basically conjunct. Saturn and Pluto have been conjunct close by for almost a year. So as Jupiter is approaching Saturn, Saturn is being connected and worked on by the energy of Pluto. And just to kind of, you know, connect some things, kind of tie in some practicalities, one of the things that Jupiter really relates to would be just simply joy and life and aliveness. But it also ties in on a collective level with culture. And Saturn has to do with the structure of things. And so things like government and authority and the shape of things in general. So every 20 years we get this alignment of the aliveness and the culture and the energy of creativity, the way it's manifesting, and also the way that structure is working currently. So those two work together. The workings of Jupiter and Saturn have a very social a quality about them. And they happen typically, they have for centuries, been on the 20 years, so 20, 40, 1940, 1960, 1980, 2000. And now here they are in 2020, and they're about to have a new conjunction. So the cycle of Jupiter and Saturn creates something of a pattern, a resonance for society. So, you know, you could think of it not that it's causal. We're not saying that that what's happening with these planets in any way is directly causal, but it's resonant. Just like in music, you know, you could strike a string on an instrument across the room and the same string on another instrument will ring. Well, it's a vibrational pattern. There are vibrational connections that we're seeing. And so this vibrational pattern with Jupiter and Saturn is about to change. Now, one of the other things that's very striking is with Saturn and Pluto, Saturn and Pluto come together about every 35 years. But this one is really special because it's rare. And one of the things that's so rare about it is Saturn, Pluto in particular. Pluto is at the point where it's diving beneath the plane of the ecliptic. Now, it sounds a little technical, but what it means is Pluto's orbit is tilted. And what we've had when Pluto was discovered was in 1930. And when it was discovered, it was crossing the plane of the ecliptic, the orbit of the sun, from our point of view. So when that happened, that was the time, interestingly, when plutonium was discovered. So the things that Pluto has to do with, it's a great power. So in some ways, Pluto is like the immense authority, the highest level of authority, but not only in a temporal sense, also in kind of an eternal sense. So Pluto also connects with the power of regeneration and resurrection. And so we have this immense energy that ties in not only with the ordinary, most intense levels of power and energy that we can wield, but it also ties in with transcendent levels of power. So what we have now is Saturn and Pluto are working together, and the short-term mundane manifestation of this, one of the things it can do is it can be power being used or misused by the structures of authority. So you can have abuse of authority, abuse of power. But what you also get with this is the potential for great shifts, great transformation in the nature structure. And I think this is something that resonates with what Yeshua is telling us about in terms of the way that we will ultimately manifest a completely new understanding of the way structure works and a new relationship with structure. And goodness knows, something that's been unfolding forever. But it seems that we have a marker in the sky that's telling us and showing us that a new level of this possibility, this understanding, may well be at hand. So what's interesting about this is a couple of things that are unfolding right now. Venus is going to have an exact conjunction with Jupiter. So right now it's pretty close. It's so close enough it's considered conjunct. It's just a few degrees apart. But on this coming Sunday, November 24th, we're going to have an exact alignment of Venus and Jupiter. And then shortly after that, about December 10th, 11th, 12th, we're going to have a conjunction between Venus and Saturn and then Venus and Pluto. And so Venus kind of comes through. Venus is going to go on and eventually also have conjunctions with Neptune and with Uranus. Venus is not going to, it'll still be an evening star all the way through into the spring, through the almost the end of spring. So Venus's arc in this whole experience is going to be great, and it's going to connect all of the planets that the outer planets, starting with Jupiter and going all the way out to Neptune and Pluto in this process. So that's the first aspect of this series of alignments that's very significant. But there's another part of it which is also even more intense and potentially energizing for this whole configuration. And that is that the Sun and Mercury had a transit. That's kind of rare. That only happens once every 13 years. And that just occurred. That was on November 11th. So when that happened, I was meditating, and Spirit whispered to me, behold the alignment of light and awareness. And what was really striking about that to me was how beautiful and how simple it was. This is the first time that I had any such insight about the interaction of the Sun and Mercury, especially with the pure simplicity of that. And to me, that's always a really good sign that, you know, that's the voice of Spirit or Yeshua that's speaking, helping us understand. So great, great simplicity. Well, what we're going to have with the Sun and Mercury is their orbit, the orbit of Mercury, I think it's about 4 months long altogether. And so from the time Mercury crossed in front of the Sun on November 11th until it comes back around and hits the Sun again, it'll be on the opposite side. So think of Mercury's orbit, a big, big circle that's going around the Sun. So when it comes back around from behind the Sun, it's going to have another conjunction with the Sun, another alignment of light and life. Well, it's very interesting because that will be the exact day, actually the day before, we have the exact Saturn-Pluto conjunction. The exact Saturn-Pluto conjunction will fall on, I think it's January 12th, and then the Sun and Mercury will also be aligning. So we have the energy of light and life together with the exact conjunction of Saturn, the planet of structure and authority, and with Pluto, the transcendent energy of regeneration, resurrection. And another thing Pluto resonates with is divine will. So it's very, very striking. And this sequence, the thing I want to suggest that we pay attention to here is that the amazing thing about this is not just one event. What we're seeing is a huge, living, interactive sequence of events. And if we're tuned into it, if we're conscious of it, if we connect with it, then we are living elements within the whole system. And we're more able to not only appreciate, but also to amplify the energy of what's going on, see the beautiful harmony and connections. And you know, one of the things that strikes me so much about patterns is something that I think I'm remembering something that Yeshua said to you, Glenda, about patterns. You know, you see these patterns, they reveal deeper constants. And so that's something that always hits me. We see these beautiful patterns that exist in the sky, and they're revealing deeper intelligence and these deeper constants and greater levels of existence that are available. And so that's something that's available inside us as well as in the sky outside us. So I also want to give you a chance to share any insights that you have. And there's more that I want to share in a few minutes about all these connections. But maybe we'll take a breath for a minute and see if anybody has any comments or questions or observations. And if you do, hit *61, and I'll be able to see that you're that you have a comment or a question, and I'll bring you on so that you can speak up and share your thoughts and feelings. Does anybody want to make a comment or ask a question?
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Linda.
I just pressed in. I have a lot of questions, but I wanted to start with a comment. 24 years ago is when Yeshua came to me and said, "Now I will ask you to speak for me."
Wow.
24 years ago. And it was in the fall. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that resonated with me deep in my heart, thinking, oh my gosh, what has been done in the last 24 years taking this message to the world? Because before that, I was pretty quiet. I shared the painting. I traveled. I told just a brief a concept of how the painting happened and my experience with him. But I was not ready to say that we talked, because if I did, you know what the next question would be. What did he say? And I was not ready to be responsible for that. So I was a very quiet citizen of heaven, you might say. And he woke me up in the middle of the night. I think it was actually in November. And he said, I will speak through you now. And I said, okay. All right. I'm not sure how, but all right. I'm here for you. And then nothing more was said for quite a while. Well, for a little while. And I was working on my newsletter that we issued from our gallery. We were selling our gallery, and so we only had two months left. We had gallery nights there every month, and we had such a large gallery. We would house, we could seat 100 people easily. And we had all kinds of really great speakers come in on our gallery night. So I was thinking about in my newsletter, well, what should I say? What should I say? Because I don't want to make promises I can't keep. We were only here two more months. And as I was writing the newsletter, he showed up. And he said, well? And I said, oh, no, you don't. And he said, well? And I said, oh, you can't mean it. You can't really mean it. And he said, have I ever said anything I don't mean? And so I wrote in my newsletter that if anyone, I didn't really think anyone would show up. I said, if anyone is interested in knowing what Yeshua said to me during the days we were together, I'll make myself available on the following two gallery night events. Well, Tony, we not only couldn't fill the house, we had to put speakers in the parking lot.
Wow.
I had no idea. I really, really had no idea how much the world wanted to hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of what became Conversations with Jesus, and then eventually Love Without End. And everything that followed after.
That's
I just can't imagine what could happen better than that this November. I'm waiting to see. But talk about transformation. I mean, that's a perfect example of something that was good, but, you know, even good things can be transformed into better things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we start out as just a personal life doing personal things, and then all of a sudden something happens, and it becomes relevant to everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the gist of what you're saying, is this is a moment in time where a lot of things will become relevant to a lot of people. And the personal thoughts and voices we have had may become public thoughts and voices that we express.
Yeah. Well, and yes, that definitely relates with a Venus and Jupiter, which is this very first visible part of what we're observing. Because Venus has these beautiful, resonances. The traditional things are, love, beauty, and truth.
Love, yes.
Yeah.
And Jupiter with expansion and gifting to everyone. How amazing is that?
Yeah. So this one actually has a very graceful, meaning to it. If you just do a search online, Venus-Jupiter conjunctions, you will frequently find things. There's hardly ever you find something that's not very positive and favorable looking at that. So our experience with this historically is something that has a great impact, but there are some times when it has extraordinary magnitude to it, which is what you just shared. So I think that we may well be in the midst of something that has a resonance with the beauty and the magnitude of what you experienced 24 years ago. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful if new voices come out and new answers and new expressions? You know, I'm here for the duration, but I'm not the only one that heaven has spoken to. And a lot of people are carrying with them the secret message that they hold close to their heart, and they're not daring to speak it. And so maybe this is a time when they need to speak up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think what's going to be occurring, too, is we're in the midst of it feels like we've been in the midst of a turning point for quite a while. But this is pivotal, what's happening now. And it seems to me that watching Venus come up and bless Jupiter and their magic works together, and then that spark carries on and immediately goes and blesses Saturn and Pluto that are currently together. And it kind of delivers the quality of that Venus-Jupiter blessing to the whole world, but also to this unfolding potential of transformation that is right here and ready to have its final moment and where it's exact. So Saturn and Pluto will only have one exact hit, and that will be in January. So this happens before the Saturn and Pluto alignment happens. So that seems really striking. Now, one of the things that's also very significant with this is that, and it happened, I know that that you mentioned that you had a very significant experience, just powerful energy-wise, on the day that this transit of Mercury hit the Sun. And, you know, I don't know if you want to share anything about that, but the thing I was going to relate is on the full moon, there was something very, very striking and profound that I was paying attention to. It one of these things that emerged. It was a revelation. And so just like with the Sun and Mercury, light and awareness working together, suddenly it added, Venus. And, so I've always been curious and paid attention to, what are these patterns tell us? What do they reveal? You know, what's the meaning that we can extract from different experiences with this? Well, it shifted it for me. It gave me something completely new, and it happened on that full moon, which is like the day after the sun lines. Yeah. So here's what it is. I think I can convey it, and we'll see, people who are with us right now, we'll see what impression you get from this. So what Spirit whispered to me is that look at our inner solar system. It's like, it's kind of like the inside of the star system, but it's kind of, that's got a resonance to the inside of us. And what we see.
I like that concept.
Yeah, doesn't this, see how this connects. See, within us, there are certain essential things. And just like with the star system, at the center of our star system, we have light, awareness, and love. And that same essence is present in each of us, in our being. We
it
have
is.
Within us light, awareness, and love.
Well, it
and
is.
So what,
that's it true.
It brings forward a possibility that we can start to see these things not just as discrete planetary patterns and, interactions with the sun, but as a wholeness. It's just right for us. There's this amazing, real, mystical, moving thing, which has these different components. And we can look at the components individually, but they really operate as a unit, just like our being has different aspects to it. And so what this does is it gives us the opportunity to see and sense in a simple way that within us is continually operating and unfolding light, awareness, and love. And this is something
great.
That's operating and unfolding. Yeah, so does that seem to, maybe that simplifies it a bit. That was my impression, that it simplifies the connection, and it gives us something very easy to see how the outside and the inside are really reflective and really beautifully working together.
It does. Now, let me ask you one question, though. How does Pluto fit into that? Because Pluto has always been the little planet that brings about exponential change.
Yeah.
And how does that fit into what we're talking about?
Well, so with the outer planets, we have, and I'm still getting more, this is kind of one of these things that unfolds continually. But with Pluto really speaks to me because it's very significant in my own chart. I have the moon and Pluto together. So the way I can sense it and could say is that Pluto has these various, these great, powerful aspects to it. But perhaps the simplest way to look at it is it has a resonance with Mars. So Mars has a lot to do with personal will and mm-hmm. our choices and our action. And also in that sense has to do also with karma. It's typically also associated with karma because of action, because of its association with action. Well,
really?
Pluto is the higher octave of that. So it's a very simple personal will and divine will.
Oh,
so
okay.
How does that unfold? So we know that, like with personal will, and thanks to what Yeshua has been helping us understand, that there's this connection of will and love. And, I mean, it's really something. I mean, I think that there's an immense amount for us to understand. And Pluto also certainly has this connection with love, with the primal energy of being. So Pluto has a beautiful resonance with that. So there's just all sorts of things that we have to understand, and it works itself out through every different experience. But where Pluto shows up.
I've always wondered about the relationship of Pluto and forgiveness.
Oh.
Have you thought about that? Because there's nothing more transformative than forgiveness.
Yeah.
And it's a very high octave of will. It's where we let go of our will in order that the larger will can be done.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think that, I sense that certainly they're all connected. Like you so beautifully illustrated in so many of the things that you've taught. I'm always, the connection with forgiveness and grace is something that always gets my attention. And so I think that what you're pointing to is something very important that, like with the intelligence of the Sacred Heart, the highest level of that, the highest dimension of that unfolds after we really get the understanding of forgiveness and grace. And, then comes the fulfillment of love and joy and kindness. So it definitely seems like it's interwoven with it. And, so what I get the sense
isn't Pluto really the furthermost planet that we know about?
There are other small planetoids. There are other ones out there, but I think a lot of people who look at the sky and look at planetary interpretation see Pluto still as something so extremely valuable and important, and it's very evolutionary.
I think so too, because it's where we get outside the box.
Yeah.
And getting outside the box is evolutionary.
Yeah.
It also involves letting go of old programs. It involves letting go of our judgments.
Yeah.
And encountering our karma, even.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, and there's different type of understanding and a different kind of relationship we have with these things. I think that one of the most valuable things, my experience is like when we pay attention to these things and actually just watch them, and like with the Sun, Venus, and Mercury, they're very close to the Sun, so you hardly ever see them. You might, and sometimes for months you may not see them because they're so close to the Sun. So unless you track them and know where they are, you might have a difficult time to ever spot them. So what's very interesting about this is that that when we realize that they're actually kind of something that's all moving together in a single system, that they're really, although we look at them like on a chart, we look at them in their momentary like snapshot of where they are right now. That what they really are is one, and the whole sky is one beautiful fluid pattern. And we can make sense of that because within us, the whole thing's in motion, right? But within us is the reference point of stillness that allows us to have that place where we can see it, where we can behold it. And when we connect with the sky from that place of stillness inside us, we have to find a moment of real readiness in order to behold what the universe is unfolding in front of us. Well, in those kind of moments, there's this connection that can happen, and then our understanding about how this thing is moving and what it's doing shifts. I've seen that happen continually. That happens, with me all the time. So if I can find a place to just get quiet and sink into the stillness and peace of my inner being, then that gives me the frame and the reference where I can really appreciate what's going on, and it kind of opens up a doorway that then allows the magic of the universe to shine its light in and shine. So my feeling is that we're in a huge process of discovery. It's not like an Albert Einstein time when, a single being comes up with this immense discovery. I sense that the discovery that we're doing now is something that involves everybody. It's something that unfolds because everybody senses their own direct connection to it experientially. Some of us will get it through observing the sky. Some of us will get it through music. Some of us will get it through, other forms of creativity or service. Just like Yeshua told us, it's infinitely workable. So, I'm sensing that that's now more prevalent, more observable, more workable in terms of how we can apply it, how we can begin to sense it and then also discover and create with it.
Well, that's what I love so much about the way you look at the planets, is that you see them interwoven in a holistic system. And all of life is. All of life is. None of us can say, well, just what does this mean for me? Because it's got to mean something for your environment, for the other people of your life, the people you love, the life around you, the general community and economy and natural and national posturing. It's got to mean something for everybody, or it doesn't mean anything. And I think that's what I see happening now, is that we're moving to a place in time where all of us are confronting the holistic nature of life. It's not, we're out of the me generation into the we generation.
Yeah.
We've made that transition, and I think that everything that's happening now is confirming and solidifying that change. We're into the we generation. I can't speak for you because you're so much younger than me, but I definitely grew up in the me generation, and I don't mean that in a selfish way. so many things that were happening for my generation were about self-discovery, self-actualization, self-responsibility, self-discovery. And even though most of the pursuits were magnanimous and commendable, it was still oriented toward the I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are at a place in time where we have to focus on the we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That's something that's been showing up more and more in some of the sky connections that I've been seeing, and I'm sure that's probably showing up a lot for everybody. So the thing that I really want to encourage everybody to do who's listening is find your own connection, because finding that and sharing the blessing of that is a huge and beautiful way, and because the insights that we have and the creative connections that we make, when we realize it's part of something bigger, that encourages. So I want to do this because it gives me such joy. But what's most enjoyable and most fulfilling about it is the discussion, the interaction, the finding out what also excites and just inspires, and what's the light and awareness and love doing in the midst of your particular experience, so it's always fun when I get to do that with you. But I'm hoping that more and more people in our community realize, hey, the universe is talking to you, and probably they do. Mm-hmm. And perhaps they'll find different ways that they can express that. And I think that that's a very, very important part of what we're doing. It's part of this we are experience, because that becomes a new type of creation where we're constantly working and sharing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kind of blown away just when I was a kid, hearing the, like in what was said in the book of Revelations about we'll have a new creation, not only a new heaven and a new earth, but a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what kind of speaks to me now in this time. Because if we are a new presence, then we naturally are engaging with the life and presence of the universe in a new way. Well, isn't that what a new creation might be?
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
So there is one person who's on here. It looks like Gina would like to.
Oh, let's take the call. Let's get other people.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Glenda. I think you answered my question. When you first spoke, you were talking about all of us should be aware on the inside so that it, manifests more on the outside. But I think you just answered that.
Have you been observing this at all? Ronnie, you're also open. Your mic's also open. I have you on here as well. Have you seen any of this going on? Have you seen Venus and Jupiter yet?
No, I have not.
Oh. Where do you live?
In upstate New York.
Oh, okay. You're far enough north that it might not be up for very long in the evening, but your best opportunity to see it will be in these next few days. But if you're someplace where you can't see it visually, just connect with it, because many people are seeing it. We're all connecting with it on some level. And so just see how it speaks to you. And maybe this energy, have you had any experiences that have kind of showed a resonance with these patterns that I've been connecting? Is there anything in particular you've seen that you've been struck by?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's what was my question is, maybe how should we do this, or what's the best way to do it? And I think you were saying, make sure to, get quiet and go within.
Yeah.
To discover it for yourself.
Yeah. So when Yeshua tells us about what he talks about with readiness and attentiveness. So to me, that is the purest and simplest prescription, but particularly readiness. And he said that readiness has to do with Venus and perception. And Glenda, when you connected the dots for me, this was such a revelation. When you said that an innocent perception is like childlike perception with enthusiasm, it's like, oh, because you can get to, you can be very kind of detached and observe things from a very still place. But when you bring your real curiosity, your true inner enthusiasm to it, that, I think that's when things start to connect and open. So those would be the simple things that I would do. Another thing I would recommend that works extremely well for me is breathing. So use your breathing. Do like a conscious breathing, a nice, I like to do a nice slow breath, maybe like to the count of four in and then kind of a nice slow out to the count of eight. Whatever works for you. Use a rhythm that works. But allow that to kind of help you get to that place of readiness. And then when you behold the sky, just say, okay, I know you have something amazing and you're continually doing all these amazing things, God, with everything in creation. So I'm here. I'm ready. And you stay there with that. Now, sometimes it takes, minutes and something amazing shows up. Sometimes it takes hours. When I was a child, I went out and did this for hours. And in the wintertime on the East Coast, the best time to view was at night when it was freezing cold. So I did that. I went outside and nobody taught me. I was just really curious and I was very willing to just go outside and behold it. So however that works for you, to kind of have that sense of stillness and peace, but excitement, allow it to, because there's something amazing ready to unfold in front of you. Well, that's there because there's something equally amazing inside.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. That's a beautiful question. I'm really glad you asked that. And if there's anybody else who has any other comments or questions, you're most welcome. We have a few minutes left until the top of the hour. I know we planned on just an hour for this tonight. Thank you so much for everybody being here. And, you know, if anybody's curious and wants to have more discussions about this at any point, I'm very open to it. I'd be happy to discuss it more or even facilitate things if that was something that people wanted to explore further as well. Whenever I get a chance to talk about this with anybody, but certainly with this community, it's always a blessing for me as well. Just a continual, joyful, discovery.
Well, Tony, I for one want to say thank you. This has been an amazing, display of what's going on around us. And I think the revelation comes when we take it inside ourselves and we allow it to, as you said, to breathe it in and allow it to become a part of who we are. Whether we know it or accept it or inhale it or respond to it, it's still happening. And it's happening to the forces of creation. Layered, you know, the forces of creation are layered like this grand Christmas cake with like 24 layers of yumminess leading all the way down to a cherry in the middle, you know, really. And you're the cherry. I just really didn't know what other metaphor to use, but we're in the season, so why not? But there are layers and layers and layers of creation. And these layers of creation are divinely orchestrated. And they're happening and they're filtering into the earth, into our environment, into our social community, our global community, our natural life, and everything around us. And whether or not you're aware of them personally, they are affecting you because they're creating the next environment in which you engage. Have you ever noticed from year to year, you're engaging with a whole new environment?
Mm-hmm.
Especially from decade to decade, I know you can notice that, like the difference from grade school to high school and high school to adult life. I know you notice the difference in the environment there, but there's a whole new change of environment with all of these years we go through and what the ancient mystics called epochs. What they were really referring to when they called the changing of times an epoch is they were referring to these cosmic influences that change everything. And then you get to relate to it as you wish, as you will. This is not imposing on your personal will. You still have your personal will because you are a child of God. But you're going to relate to a new environment. And that could affect the choices you make or even the choices that are available for you to make. So it's in the spirit of that kind of revelation that we offer these insights to you and hope that the love inside you and the love from which the universe is created will meet in perfect harmony. And Tony, I want to thank you. This has been a marvelous presentation. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're going to record it, and I'm not exactly sure where it's going to be placed. I'll talk to our webmaster about that, and then we'll send an email out to people who couldn't get it, who just couldn't arrange their life to be here live. But if you're willing to stay on for a few more minutes, you know, we can keep this going if anybody else wants to come on board and just ask a question. Don't worry
about
being embarrassed or too personal. We're all interested in you and what you see and what you feel.
There is one other thing I can mention while anybody would like to queue up. You have to hit *61 in order to get into the Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, and we could talk more about this another time, but there's another really important event in this sequence of things that we discussed tonight, and it is it's an annular eclipse. There's a solar eclipse of the sun conjunct Jupiter, which is on Christmas. So it's
wow.
Christmas night this year. Isn't that, it seems almost
amazing. Oh, wow.
The most important thing to mention. But yes, that's happening this year. So with all of these other precise and beautiful alignments, we also have, with an eclipse, the way that speaks to me, it's a rebirth of the light, which is certainly also resonant with the solstice and with Yeshua's birth, our celebration of Yeshua's birth. And it's with Jupiter. It'll be within 2 degrees of Jupiter. So this really, Venus will bless Jupiter on the 24th, and really from now until Thanksgiving, Venus and Jupiter will be very, very closely interacting. And then
this indicates to me a blessed year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there's another pattern which will unfold all through next year, which is Jupiter interacting with Pluto. Saturn and Pluto were working together this year, and so a lot of the very, very intense things with power and structure, right?
Yeah.
We had so much of that this year. Well, that's going to shift in January, and then what's going to happen by February, we're going to have this interaction of Pluto and Jupiter. And this one is really beautiful. Glenda, you know, one of the things this resonates with is something you talked about months ago, and it just fits perfectly. Jupiter and Pluto, one of the aspects of this is grow beyond your dilemma. Jupiter and Pluto. And that's next year. So we're still preparing for the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, but this next year is going to be highly interactive with the energy of Jupiter and Pluto. So there's
I love that. I am so ready for that, Tony. I am so ready for that.
Well, it stuck with me. You mentioned it on a Sunday blessing call months ago. And it just really, that just resonated for me. And it was a very practical thing you were talking, you were responding to a question. And that just stayed with me. And when I saw this, it was like, oh, that's the celestial resonance of that interaction. Jupiter and Pluto speaking that way to me. And these things are infinite. They have infinite potential to teach us, to create with us, to resonate. They're vibrations. So, you know, what's the limitation for a vibration, for an energy? There's no limit. But there are certain things that are really strong and come through really, really, especially when we need it. We know that the intelligence of the universe is there and works like that. Well, that's what we have. So maybe at some point we could do, if you're interested, if you'd like to, we could do another discussion that would focus more on the Jupiter and Pluto interaction. And anything else, any other interesting thing that comes up, you know, it would be a fun discussion. I'd love that.
Well, we would love it too, Tony. And thank you so much for your service and your beautiful delivery tonight. This was well organized and so to the point of what we're all facing. I can speak for everyone in saying that it is much, much appreciated.
I appreciate that.
Because the more we coordinate with the larger realm of existence, the more our small realm of existence, the better it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, and bless you all. And thank you so much for being here and being such a wonderful...
Yeah.
You know, I could feel the audience with us through the whole thing. Thank you so much for
I know, and I want to tell you, Tony, that on all of my best deliveries, I have the least amount of response because people are stunned. So take it as a positive feedback that people are just stunned and you have answered more than anyone had a question about. But if anyone wants to send me feedback, feel free to GlendaGreen@gmail.com, and we'll use your feedback to design future programs of presentation for you. Okay?
All right. Thank you so
good
much.
Night, everybody. Good night. Sweet dreams. And float with the stars. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.